tonight. She's a great friend of mine, and she's an encourager. I'm sure if you talked to her at any moment, you left feeling that conversation encouraged. And will you tonight give Cheryl Crossett a Thursday night welcome as she comes to share?
Wow. Can y'all hear me? I used the word y'all. I'm not... I don't know why. Maybe it's because I was a little nervous. So I'm so excited to be here tonight, and I'm excited to share what God has for you. Thank you all for coming out. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me this opportunity to share what God has placed on my heart. So to begin with, I'm going to read out of Colossians 1, 15 through 22. And I'd like you to read along with me, not out loud, but you know what I mean. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell within him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were his enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. Doesn't that just want to make you stand up and cheer and thank God for what he has done through his son Jesus for us, that we would stand before him holy, blameless, pure, without fault. To me, that just, this Easter season and with doing a lot of the Lent readings that I've been doing, that just really, as soon as I read that, I was just taken back. Like, this is what it is about. So I just want to open in prayer. Father God, I thank you so much for what you have done for us so that we could spend eternity with you. I pray that you would just bless every person that is here, that you would open hearts for what you have had spoken and dropped into my heart to share with everyone tonight. I pray that you would, your words would come through, Father God, and not mine, and that you would allow me to bring it forth with boldness, Lord. I thank you and praise you. Amen. So Paul, a man who before being called by Jesus was named Saul. He was a persecutor of Christians because he believed that Christians were a threat to his Jewish beliefs. So Saul, on the road to Damascus to find and arrest Christians, was intercepted by Jesus himself and received his call to spread the gospel message to the Gentiles. I would have loved to have been called to ministry that way. Not the whole blindness thing that he went through, but just by Jesus himself appearing and saying, this is what I'm telling you I want you to do. From that time on, we read about how he did not waver in his call. He remained focused on what it was that Christ sent him to do. Paul wrote the scriptures that I read above to the Colossians church to clarify the gospel message. Paul's message continues to bring countless people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Generation after generation, his message was and continues to be preached and taught. Paul kept his mission in focus. The message tonight is a call to focus. We have spent the past 2 years fighting to be able to gather without hindrance, without fear. Over the past 2 years, Fear has controlled what we did, who we did it with, where we went, and how we behaved. We went from hugging to not. We went from gathering in joy to gathering in fear. We are still fighting that fear because we don't want to go back to the way things were. So we tread carefully. Satan used that fear to keep us apart, and he tried to hinder spreading the gospel message. Satan continues to use fear to steal people's focus off of God and onto the circumstances that are happening in the world. I believe God is about to do something amazing in our churches and in our cities and in our towns, and he is calling us to focus on the original mission, which is what I read to begin with. Whether you are new in your relationship with Christ or whether you have been in God's family for years, maintaining our focus has been a challenge. It's always going to be a challenge. It's going to be something that you will struggle with the whole time because there are distractions everywhere, and that is just the way that the world is. Why? Besides the fact that there's distractions everywhere, and although we know that we need God, we tend to stop seeking him for direction when things are going well. We tend to take credit for the good stuff that's going on. We know that we sin daily, but despite those small infractions, we are doing good, and we give ourselves a pat on the back for our efforts. We come to church week after week, worship, we serve, we are doing good. That is awesome. Usually this is the time when we leave God behind and start going it alone. It can be an unnoticeable change, so you have to be aware. But if we're not constantly focused on God, then we risk going it alone and losing the focus of our mission. Something else will have our focus. Don't get me wrong. I'm definitely preaching to myself first, and I'm not condemning, but rather sharing what I have experienced and what God has done in me as a result. You see, I was struggling with intense fear, and no matter what I did, it just seemed to get worse. I eventually realized it was due to being focused on the wrong things. I had lost my focus on God. You see, I'm a people pleaser at heart, if you didn't all know that. It happens. I try very hard to just run the other direction from that tendency, but I always end up going right back to it. It is important to me that people are happy. It is important to me that people like me. I'm a people pleaser. It's just who I am. But if I'm not paying close attention to my motives, they will change from pleasing God to pleasing others, and it can happen very quickly without me even realizing it. Pleasing people over God caused a feeling of inadequacy within me. It led to an intense fear of being in a place where others might notice my inadequacies, and this caused me to be reluctant to serve where God was calling me to. The fear was intense. It had control over my life. There was a moment that I had felt like I was trapped in a box and I couldn't move out of it. I wasn't fearful of the things in the world, but it was a fear that I would not be accepted, that people would not like me. And it just got so strong that no matter what I did, I couldn't seem to get beyond it. I had really lost my focus. John 10:10 tells us, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." When I let my focus off of God, it cleared the path for Satan to steal my joy and destroy my effectiveness. Satan wants nothing more than to keep us from fulfilling our mission of spreading the gospel to others. And when we take our focus off of God, we clear the way for Satan. And that's exactly what I did. I believed the lies that Satan was whispering to me. And I also believed that they originated with me. which is crazy because I would look at somebody else who was struggling with a similar thing, and I would tell them, you can't believe the lies that Satan tells you. You have to combat that over here. But over here, I was believing the lies that Satan was telling me because I felt like they were true. That's just how crazy it is that I could not listen to the advice that I was giving to someone else for myself because I didn't see it in myself. I didn't see that I was worthy for that. And I felt like I was right. And Satan, he wasn't whispering in my ear. But that was just the truth of what it was. So this ended up leading to anxiety within me that was so strong that I was afraid to do anything that would bring attention to myself because I did not think that I had anything that was worth saying for anyone that would want to listen. And I'm just going to take a little break there and just say how thankful I am for pastors and friends that continue to encourage and build up and put me in some uncomfortable positions without notice that would force me to do that. And honestly, I can't believe I'm thanking them for that right now. But they are what kept me from not completely closing off and walking away or just keeping to myself and not fulfilling the will that God had for my life. So I'm thankful for that. But the anxiety was pretty hard. I kind of felt like I was giving up. You know, I wasn't going to offer. I wasn't going to nothing. I was just going to crawl in my little hole and be by myself and be totally fine. And Satan will put things in our paths, struggles, sicknesses, conflicts, people. And when we're focused on these things instead of God, it opens the door to fear, envy, and doubt. Fear, I've already told you about that. Envy, because I started envying the people who were not afraid to do the things that God called me to do. Envy is a sin. And it really, I didn't see it in myself. And it wasn't until one day I had such a conflict in my heart because Jesus lives in my heart. And where Jesus is, envy can't be. Sin can't be. I had such a conflict going on inside of me that something had to break. And that's when I asked the Lord to show me what was going on. Please just tell me. And then he brought it to my attention. And you know how he brought it to my attention? Because I call it the sandpaper person. There's a sandpaper person usually in everybody's life. It's the person that rubs you the wrong way. The sandpaper person. No. Yes, it does depend on how many you need, is how many God gives you or puts in your life. But anyways, the sandpaper person had envy for me, and I never understood it. And God showed it to me, and he pointed it out. And then he was like, at the same time, telling me, you judged them. But look, it's right there in your life, big and bold. So envy. And doubt because I doubted what God could do in and through me. If we allow these things to come in our heart, then they can take control and pull us away from God, which in turn causes anxiety and depression. John 10:10, the first part was the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the second part, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is God's plan for us. He wants us to experience the fullness of him. He wants us to live in his joy. It doesn't mean that things are never going to go wrong, but instead it means that despite the things that go wrong, we can experience his joy in our hearts. If we're not focused on God, then we leave our hearts unguarded. God knows that things are going to happen in life, life is life. You know, that's just the way it goes. And my first response is to have that fullness of joy despite what's happening around me and despite what's happening in my life. And I don't want to leave my heart unguarded. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. When I read this scripture, all I could imagine was the envy and the doubt and the fear that I had been experiencing for I don't even know how long. Everything flows from my heart. What was coming out of my heart at that time? What was I showing other people? Did I even show it? I can't even tell you if I did or not, but I would not want that to be what people saw in me. And I would not want that to have an effect on the ministry for the work that God has called me for. I determined in my mind and in my heart that I was never going to let fear stop me from doing what God called me to do. I made that decision when I was in Phoenix. Yay, great conference. But I made that decision. And it doesn't mean that the fear wasn't there. It's still there. I just am not letting it affect me the way that it did. I'm not letting it have the power over me like it did. I begged the Lord to take it from me. I begged him to take away the feelings of inadequacy, to give me the boldness. And you know what he did? He reminded me in one of my devotions that he tends to use people who are deeply aware of their own inadequacies. Well, that makes sense. I knew this because Pastor tells me that all the time. And it's true. This brought me to remember Peter and John in Acts when they were arrested and brought before the council because they healed the crippled man. The council was amazed by their boldness when they spoke. Acts 4:13 says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary, unschooled men with no special training in scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. The latter part of this verse is what really struck me. What made them knowledgeable of scriptures and gave them the boldness to speak with authority, I know that the answer there is the Holy Spirit. But God was highlighting something different for me. This time he was highlighting that they had been with Jesus. This struck me. Their time with Jesus gave them the boldness. Just want to make sure you're catching what I'm saying here. Because they spent time with Jesus. They were focused on their mission and on God. And because of this, in turn, the Holy Spirit gave them what they needed at that time. God brings you what you need when you need it. And he was calling me to wake up and take notice that he's going to launch me into a great purpose. Ryan talked about launching a couple times. And it really struck me when he did because I know and God told me, be ready because I'm going to launch you. And this was shortly after all of this had taken place. So it was kind of neat. There's no denying that God is up to something here at City Church in Batavia, New York. You can feel it when you walk in the sanctuary. And I believe he is calling all of us back to the original mission. The harvest is ready. And if we are not focused on him, our mission will miss it. I think he's going to move in our church in a powerful way and in our city in a powerful way. And I want to be a part of it. When I was going through my message today before speaking it, I got so excited at this part. And in my mind, I could just see crowds of people out the door, just trying to get in. And I just prayed, Lord, let it be so. Let it be so, and let us be a church that is ready for it. We can be good at greeting. We can be good at letting people know that we love them. But we also need to be ready and focused on the mission. Because if we're not going to give them what they need when they walk in the door, they're going to turn around and walk back out. So we need to be ready. So how do we prepare? John 15:5 says, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. We keep our focus by being with Jesus, spending time set aside, not doing anything else, but sitting in the presence and resting in him. Quiet time, allowing him to talk to you, allowing him to recenter you and focus you on him. When we're focused on Jesus, it changes our attitude, gives us boldness, makes us shine brighter, reveals the sin in our lives, fuels us, centers us, encourages us, causes miracles to happen, can break chains, heals, and so much more. If your focus is on Jesus and his missions, it shines through you and it becomes part of your witness. When we serve in ministry, we want to have the greatest impact on the people we are serving. We want to be a blessing, a support, an encouragement, a witness for God. How can we do this if we're trying to do it without God? I don't know about you, but I want to speak into the hearts of the people that I am ministering to. And if I'm not focused on God, it is impossible for me to do, because God puts us in the know. When you're ministering to someone and you have God, he's going to tell you exactly how to minister to that person. If we don't have God, we're just going to go in one ear and out the other. Without God, we can do nothing that will have an impact on the kingdom. If we're not focused on him, then we risk doing it without him. I'm going to say it again. God has been calling us back to our churches, into our churches. It's really hard to minister from your couch. Back to spreading his message to the city, into our towns, into our families, into our friends. As I close, I want to read you something that I read in one of my devotions. This is my call to action. And you know what? It can be yours too. God put you on earth for a purpose for which you are uniquely created and uniquely qualified. You have a voice that no one else has on this planet. You have influence that no one in the world can have. Your message, your story, your life can reach people for Jesus in a way that no other person can do. You are God's agent of the hour. You can shape history. You are someone God has chosen to change the world in your generation. It is time to stop drawing back, stop holding back. Stop trying to diminish who and what God has called you to be and made you to be. It is time to stop trying to fit in. It is time to blow the mold wide open with the explosive force and power that God calls you to. This is my call to action, and I feel it very strongly, if you couldn't tell. Let it be yours as well. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for your word that went out tonight, Lord. I thank you that you used me to give it, Father. And I pray, Lord, that what I describe seeing is exactly what we would see. Just people coming into our church. Lord, help us to be ready. Help us to be focused on you so that when it takes place, we can minister effectively to the people that you bring in here. I thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In your name I pray. Amen.
That was the most anointed you've ever spoken. Give her one more hand, will you? And Todd, I don't know what you got going on over there behind the camera, but the blue light keeps going on and off behind you. I was reading, actually, Aaron, in 2 Corinthians 6 today, and I thought it was funny because I think all three, the two of you shared out of 2 Corinthians. I just felt this to share just a little bit of this in chapter 6. It says, "We are a temple of the living God. And God said, I'll live with them and walk among them and be their God, and they'll be my people. Come out from among them." And I want to close the night this way because I felt it strong during worship and as Cheryl ministered the word tonight. There is someone in here that come out from among them is a word for you. I don't know, and I know it's a Thursday night and there's some kids, but I don't know if you've been addicted to pornography. I don't know if you've been into Ouija boards, if you just got the wrong friends, the wrong people. But if you get the right people, if you get around the right family, if you get in God's house and you become the temple of the Holy Spirit, your entire, not just your life, not just your spouse's life, not just your family, but a generation will turn in an opposite direction. You will come out from among them. And I want to close in prayer tonight, but I really feel to sow that in. If you saw my notes for Sunday, you'd say, man, I really was anointed. Amen. This Sunday, we're going to have a great time, but I want to pray for you on your way out. We want to tell our online audience tonight, I know there was a bunch of you tonight, Christy's not online anymore. Christy and Erica are in the house tonight, so give them some love tonight. But you're set apart. You're called to do the work of the ministry. How many ministers in here tonight? All right, let me try it one more time because I got you again. I've got you a bunch of times with this. How many ministers do we have in tonight? Every one of you are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I get one more amen tonight? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that your word would come alive in us. That your word says that you don't relate to an idol, that you're separate, that you're holy, and you've called us to be the same. What does wicked have to do with the godly? Nothing. And I pray that over a heart tonight. I pray that over a life tonight, over a dad tonight. I pray that over a mom tonight. I pray, that, God, that you would begin to set them apart. I pray that for a mom and dad tonight, that you've been calling them to something. You've been calling them to a small group. You've been calling them to a Bible study. You've been calling them to ushering. You've been calling them to the music ministry. God, I pray in Jesus' name that tonight would be a call to action, that you've set them apart for the work of the ministry. And we thank you tonight for your servant. Thank you tonight for your people. And thank you tonight for this house. We pray in Jesus' name. Shout it out. Would you say amen? Amen. Hey, this Sunday, I just got the title down today, but for Sunday, I'm going to preach Living in the Loud. And it's going to be a Palm Sunday message. And I promise you, the Holy Spirit's going to work in this place Sunday. 8:30, 10 a.m. in this room, and 12 noon across town at St. Anthony's. God bless you. Have a great night.